Home is more important today than it's ever been. So if you're looking for the right place or trying to take advantage of those low interest rates with a refi, you should know that there's a nationally recognized mortgage originator right here in the Triad. Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation has been included in the top 200 loan originators in the country for 8 consecutive years. Providing personal service with experience, speed, and satisfaction is her number one priority. Trust Ashley to provide you with everything you need for a simple, rewarding home loan experience. And as a sponsor of the Triad Podcast Network, if you text or call Ashley at 336-575-9448 for your mortgage quote today, just mention the podcast, and upon receiving your quote, we'll send you a $25 local business gift card. 336-575-9448 to reach Ashley McKenzie Sharp with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation. Ashley McKenzie Sharp, NMLS ID number 100776, is a licensed mortgage originator in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Florida. Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, NMLS ID number 2289, is an equal housing lender.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.
For many, football is life. In Gavin Hill's case, football gives him life. The senior quarterback at North Davidson High School is fighting cancer for a second time. And he's winning. The return of neuroblastoma sidelined him in February, just before the start of spring ball, causing Hill to miss his junior season. But he has not been deterred. In fact, he's become even more determined to quarterback life's latest comeback, overcoming all odds, not just for himself, but for others. I'm Kyle Schassberger, and this is the inspiring story of Gavin Hill on Triad Sports One-on-One. How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. Last week had some chemo, but you know, it's all starting to go away. It's starting to feel pretty good. Usually those side effects, they tend to wear off around like Sunday or Monday, and then get to start feeling back to normal. So feeling strong this week.
It's so remarkable, man, what you've endured already and still face at this stage of your life. And yet from what I've read and seen about you, you haven't blinked. Not once. You go through this each and every week, rinse and repeat. How is that?
You know, I try to keep a positive mindset, really. I just, you know, I have an end goal, and my end goal is to take sports as far as it can go, and I'm not going to hang my cleats up or my baseball glove up until, you know, I just can't do it no more. I'm not going to let nobody tell me I can't. But, yeah, I go out there and do it for the kids who can. That's my main thing, and, you know, I see a bunch of kids every single day, you know, that I go up to the clinic or whatever, and there's a lot of kids that have it way worse than I do, and there's a lot of people out there that have it way worse than I do, and everyone's got a tougher situation, in my opinion. So, yeah, that's what I go out there and do it for.
That's amazing perspective, and your story has been told a few times, but for those that are hearing it for the first time, take us back to the moment that you were initially diagnosed in 2014 with neuroblastoma. You were 11 years old. It's a rare form of cancer that in your particular case affected your abdomen, but normally this affects children much younger than you. How did you know at the time? What symptoms were you feeling, and what was your reaction when you were told you had cancer?
So about 6 months prior to when I was diagnosed, I kept getting these like random abdomen pains. Just really, it would just stick around for maybe like a couple hours or so, and it would go away. This had happened like, I don't know, like every like 3-4 weeks, just every kind of month or so. And then at one point, the pain was really, really bad. And I mean, throwing up, fever, it was like just a really bad flu, stomach bug, was the whole thing together. And my mom took me to the doctor, and that's when they sent me in for a scan. The scan found I want to say it was half of a fist, maybe a little bit bigger. I'm not 100% sure, but they found that in my abdomen, and went in, did a biopsy, came back neuroblastoma. Neuroblastoma is a type of cancer that they find in kids that are usually like, you know, infants to 2-year-olds. And it's really rare for anybody, you know, above that age to get it. But, you know, I was one of those rare cases. And, you know, I guess I was a little, I wouldn't say too young. I understood what was going on, but I really didn't understand the seriousness of it, you know. But, you know, it's obviously I understood it was a pretty dangerous disease and all this stuff. And I really didn't think much of it until, you know, he told my oncologist at the time, told me I wasn't going to be able to play baseball. But, you know, that's when I broke down. I remember just breaking down right there in the doctor's office going, you know, what the heck is my life's coming to an end at 11 years old. But, I still ended up playing baseball through 3 or 4 rounds of chemo. And at the time, the chemo was, in my opinion, it was harsher. But I just took it by stride and, took it day by day, and I'd get hooked up, you know, Friday night or Friday morning, and then I'd go play baseball that afternoon. We just repeat that cycle throughout the weekend. And, you know, that was my life for, while I was 11 through going through fifth grade.
Going through chemo, losing your hair, I'd imagine, obviously. What was that like? How did others look at you? And, you know, did that create additional challenges for you as a young kid trying to, you know, navigate what it was like fighting cancer?
I really didn't think anything of it at the time. I didn't really care about my hair. It was I lost my eyebrows too, and that was the weird thing. And then I had a lot of people shave their heads for me. Like, my mom did it. She did it for St. Baldrick's, and my dad did it. Had coaches do it, and you know, everything. I even had some people shave their eyebrows too. So, you know, the support was there, and you know, the way the community came together. Back then, it was just awesome. That's something I'll never forget.
October 2014, that was your first round of chemo, an 11-hour operation to remove the tumor the following January. Played baseball in March. Thinking back on what you achieved then, the remission, playing sports again only weeks later, and now, Gavin, facing a second battle with cancer almost 7 years after, does that make overcoming your first bout with cancer seem any more wild or provide more encouragement, I guess would be the better way to put it, for your head-to-head battle with it again now?
I'd say, you know, when I got diagnosed with it the second time, there was no doubt in my mind that I could beat it again. I think for me, it came down to just a mindset. You know, I very well could have just, you know, sat on my butt, played video games, watched TV, but, you know, just get up, go walk on the treadmill for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it was, just keep my body moving. If I could lift, I would lift. But I think beating it a first time for sure, just it boosted my confidence just a little bit more. I was just like, all right, let's go beat this thing again.
You found out in February of this year that the cancer had returned. Ironically enough, it was COVID and the swelling of your lymph nodes, right, that caused the discovery?
Yes. I had COVID, or I had a lymph node swell up, and we weren't really sure. And so, like, literally the next day, I had COVID symptoms. Ended up getting a test that was COVID positive. And then once COVID went away, the lymph node was still there. So that's when we went and got that checked out.
How have things been different this second time?
I think it's been an easier road, but, you know, obviously, I wouldn't say easier. I think it's been tougher on the mental side more than anything, just because now I understand more about what's going on. I'm in pretty big years of my life, and knowing that, you know, at any moment, you know, I could take a wrong turn or, you know, whatever. Early on going through this, not so much now, but it's been tough on the mental side for sure, especially going through those inpatient rounds, where I'd have to stay for a week and pretty much just sedated on pain meds the whole time, just not remembering much after, and it was a brutal process, I think. But as far as treatment goes, it's probably been an easier road.
I want to discuss your treatment schedule, but before we do that, when you learned that you had to fight again, and it was this February 2021 when you learned that the cancer had returned. You had already described your reaction as an 11-year-old child finding out for the first time, breaking down. Those were your words, you know, thinking your life might be over when you learned you had cancer. What was your reaction when you found out again? How did that move you when you learned that you had cancer for the second time?
I will say that, you know, when I had the tumor show up and we realized it wasn't just a lymph node anymore, and that it was a tumor, I just kind of had a feeling that it was going to come back. And, you know, there was some talk about it being maybe a lymphoma or just a mass. But I just kind of had a feeling that it was going to, you know, be this neuroblastoma again. But you know, it was tough mentally being like, you know, why me, you know, why do I got to go through this crap again? And, but I think it was about a week of just, I guess, feeling sorry for myself and, you know, being down about it. But then I just realized, all right, let's keep a positive attitude. Let's get after this thing. Let's do what we got to do and get it over with.
All right, if you're enjoying this podcast, then I hope you'll take just a quick second to hear about the folks that make it all possible. And that's the Ginther Group, a Triad real estate team with a vast local knowledge. Don't believe me? Hear it for yourself by listening to their real estate show right here on the Triad Podcast Network. I'm not even in the market, and I don't know what I'd do without an ally like Blake Ginther and the Ginther Group. They've helped me find a plumber, a roofer, and even help my family save hundreds each month when we refinanced our home. Now imagine how they can help if you are in the market. They can help you get started with an evaluation to list and market your home. So if you're thinking of buying or selling in the Triad, call the Ginther Group at 336-283-8689 or find them online at theginthergroup.com. Now back to the show.
It's one of those things. This is a tremendous lesson in life across all circles, you know, when life deals you some difficult circumstances, you know, how are you going to respond? And in your case, Gavin, you know, you might sulk over it for a day or for a week or whatever it may be. I mean, this is a matter of life and death in a lot of ways, but you've risen to the occasion and you've been able to have the proper perspective. I do know, though, when the second diagnosis came down, you were about to start spring football season, right? So you learned you could not play football earlier this year in the spring, the season that was shifted to the end of February because of COVID. That had to have been devastating, though, right?
Yeah, it was pretty rough, and I had to make the decision, you know, because I got diagnosed on the 16th, and I think our first game was, I want to say it was the 21st, if I'm not mistaken. So you know, we found out right before the first game, and planning on playing and getting all these playing time, and you know, starting my junior year off right. Football wise, and you know, I get blindsided by this, but I had to make the decision, you know, do I play and have to quit halfway through the year and, you know, just let somebody else take over and not have any reps, or do I just not play now and just watch, wait it out. So that was pretty tough on me, but yeah.
Tell me about your treatment schedule this year. My understanding is you've taken many trips to Charlotte and back, even before school.
Yeah, so during the summer, it was pretty much in-round chemo and inpatient chemo and immunotherapy. So I'd go in for a week. They'd, you know, start me off on chemo on Monday night, and then it would go through the week and they switch off immunotherapy through chemo, and then I'd be off for 2 weeks, go back. And I did that for 7 rounds. And then my last 3 rounds of chemo have been through liquid, and I just mix it with cranberry juice, and it tastes awful if you can only imagine. And, but I've been doing that. And at the start of school, I was going to radiation in the mornings, leaving at 5:30, getting there, getting my radiation done, and going to school, and then having football practice and all that stuff.
What has the support been like? You already touched on your mother, for example, who shaved her head for St. Baldrick's, and how, you know, so many have rallied around you to help lift you during these difficult times. But you know, thinking about your teammates, your classmates, your coaches, how would you describe everyone's emotions and how they've, you know, taken to you during this?
Well, all the support has just been unreal, you know, not only through our community and, you know, football and baseball team, but, you know, just everybody, the whole state, and even going nationwide. I mean, the support has been unreal. But, you know, my coaches, my school has been there for me 100% of the way. It's just the whole time, you know, I've always could call Coach Flynn or call Coach Griff, you know, and talk to those guys if I wanted to. And, you know, everybody's just had my back the whole time, and it's been awesome.
I would imagine that keeping your folks and others assured that you're doing okay is actually one of the more difficult things in this as they come to you. But, you know, thinking about everything else, weight loss and, you know, issues with energy and having to drive to Charlotte as many times as you have, what has been the most difficult part of going through this second bout with cancer?
I think not being able to play football last year was the roughest part for sure. And then after that, was the weight loss, because I had worked really, really hard to put weight on for football. After my sophomore year of football season, I was like 150, and going into football season last year, I was 180, 185, and I worked really, really hard to get there, and then all of a sudden, you know, get hit by this stuff, and down to 149, but now I'm back up to 175, putting on weight, putting on strength, so, you know, I'm getting back where I want to be.
So we're talking about 35 pounds of weight loss, right around there is what you've experienced, and you've been able to put on 25, 26 more here in the season. Now, at what point were you cleared to begin practicing with the team again before this current fall football season? Were you able to participate full on from the start?
August 1st, I think, was the first time I practiced with the team. And that's when my doctor allowed me to, even though I still have my port in and all that stuff, he was willing. He was like, all right, I'll let you play, but you got to make sure that thing's padded up, ready to go in case you get hit. But thankfully we weren't doing much hitting at the time. So I still played with the port in and practice and all that stuff. And yeah.
So tell us how has your body held up? You're 4 weeks into the year, I believe 1-3. I know it's not the season that y'all would have liked to this point, but you know, big picture, it's not all about wins and losses, and I think you're the poster child for that sort of, you know, descriptor on the year. How has your body held up, and how would you assess, you know, your progress to this point in the season?
I'd say it's progressed tremendously, I would say, from August 1st, because, you know, during that time, I was at around lunchtime, I was going to Charlotte, getting my chemo and radiation. At that time, I was getting chemo through my IV, but I obviously wasn't having to stay overnight, but I was getting it through my IV. I'd go get radiation, and then I'd come straight to football practice. And then, but I mean, at the time, I was maintaining weight. I was about 160 at the time, so I was still in the, you know, way better than 150, 140, whatever that range was, but I was pretty weak. Especially when it came to conditioning and having to throw so much at practice, but it's what my body needed to get in shape. But just the more I've gone at it, I've lifted really hard, you know, conditioned really hard, and you know, my body's handled it great.
How would your head football coach Brian Flynn describe you?
I'd say a leader and a hard worker.
What class do you have with him during the day?
I do not have him. I have Coach Wag, our volleyball coach, but I see Coach Flynn around during my condition period.
Okay. Well, full disclosure, we're recording this the morning of a game day. You're in, what, conditioning class, which normally you don't lift the same day that you have a game. So you're kind of getting off easy here, talking to me here on this Friday morning. You got Montgomery Central, am I right, coming up tonight. Tell me about a typical Friday night, though. Waking up that morning, knowing it's a game day, there's got to be some nerves, some chills involved. Take me through your routine on a game day.
I'd say, you know, I go to bed And honestly, I really don't sleep all that well the night before a game just because I'm so antsy and ready to go. But when I get up in the morning, eat a good breakfast, usually my go-to is McDonald's or Bojangles. Get me two biscuits, then head to school, and then, you know, just go through my day, watch a little film during conditioning. After school, you know, go to pregame meal, and then after that, it's nothing but business. You know, put the headphones on, listen to some music, and, you know, just focus, watch a little bit more film, and get ready to play.
Am I right, though? There's a different kind of energy on game day when your feet hit the floor in the morning?
There's nothing like it. Like, I got a math test today, and I don't know how I'm going to sit through that because I have math fourth period, so I don't know how I'm going to sit there still taking my math test.
I know for me personally, and I probably speak for most former high school athletes who are plenty past that chapter in their life, those feelings, the hype, the anticipation, the nerves, excitement, it's what we all miss the most, Gavin, and just the ability to compete, man. So don't take it for granted, and I don't think you are. Your fight with cancer might cause you to be more present, honestly, appreciative in these moments and the opportunities that you encounter both in class and on the field of competition. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, going through, you know, a second time, not only a first time, but a second time, it makes you think like, okay, don't take anything for granted. I go out and I try to play every game like it's my last game. Being able to put on pads, that's what I do when I go on the field, and that's what I think every high school athlete should do.
I know you're planning on playing baseball, too, in the spring. If you had to choose, and you can reveal maybe your college prospects, too, what your plans might be after high school, but football or baseball, what would you want to most continue at the next level?
Right now, I think football. I think if I put the size on and I get a little bit more speed to me, I think I could do it at the college level. But yeah, I think football right now.
How tall are you?
6'1".
6'1". Have you thought about, well, I know you've thought about it, but where are you in landing with a college and making a commitment? How long do you plan to maybe hold out in making your decision? And, what are some schools that you're considering?
I haven't had any offers or anything like that, but, you know, hopefully I get, you know, I have this year. And then I'm supposed to be getting a reclass, through a medical exemption, to the High School Athletic Association so I can play next year, again. And since, you know, for the whole thing is for my school too, 'cause I missed so much school last year. It helps me get caught up a little bit more. It gives me a little bit more time so I don't have to cram everything into this year. Because this year's still, my schedule is pretty hefty. You know, just I got to take two maths this year, two Englishes, and I still got to take a history and all this stuff since I missed last year. But, you know, hopefully I get that another year of eligibility and, you know, I'll get some more looks to come in. You know, some more eyes will be on me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I hadn't realized, you know, you could petition or at least go through a waiver process to get an additional year of high school. But with your situation, the academics missed, as you alluded to, and even athletically, you seem like a perfect candidate to be able to snag an extra year.
Yeah, I think I got a pretty good reason.
Let's wrap up with some quick hitters to reveal a little more about your personality. Go as long or short as you'd like, Evan. Watching a game at home or being at a game physically? What do you prefer?
I'd say being at a game physically. I went to a Virginia Tech Notre Dame game with one of my good friends a couple of years ago. And at the time, I think Notre Dame was ranked like 4th, and then Virginia Tech was ranked like 17th. And it was at Lane Stadium. So, I mean, you know, when they play Inter Sandman, it's thumping. But it's just a college atmosphere is a pretty cool place.
I'm so jealous of you right now. I'm a diehard Notre Dame guy, and I remember that game vividly, and I wanted so badly to go to Blacksburg to be able to see my Irish, but I do remember Notre Dame pulling that out, and then epically, such a troll job afterwards on social media when they pulled the plug on the Enter Sandman and put Exit Sandman with the leprechaun walking away afterwards. It was amazing. More entertaining, college football or the NFL?
College football, for sure.
Duke or Carolina?
I'd say Duke. I'm not a big ACC fan. I'm a huge Florida Gator fan. Diehard Florida Gator fan. I'm a big SEC guy. But if I had to pick an ACC school, it'd be Wake Forest.
Okay, good answer, good answer. I've got some SEC roots, some LSU ties, lived in Baton Rouge for a couple of years. So, yeah, we're not too fond of Florida, but I like that. board games or video games?
Video games.
Last movie you saw?
Crap. I haven't watched a movie in a while. I'd say The Blind Side. Who's in that? You know what I'm talking about, The Blind Side? It's got the dude that played for the Baltimore Ravens.
I know the movie. I know the movie very well. Yeah. I actually read
it's a,
it's a
good movie. Yeah. I watched that.
I read the book in grade school, I believe. That's Sandra Bullock who plays Leanne too.
Yeah, she's in that.
Tim McGraw also, who plays dad, Mr. Tui. It's the story of Michael Orr.
Michael Orr.
Yeah, and Hugh Freeze, who's the head coach at Liberty, was his high school coach in real life at the time, and then ended up going to Ole Miss. Yeah, phenomenal. That's a good selection. Chocolate or vanilla?
Chocolate.
Steak or chicken?
Steak.
And your favorite candy?
Kit-Kats.
You've successfully completed. This is the first ever. I don't really know what to call it, but the gauntlet, the Shasta pack, I'll have to ask our sponsors to help with the branding. I'll let you go on this, Gavin. What you're going through, in spite of it all, you've been a beacon of positivity, and I think you can offer some inspiration to others who are facing similar tests in life. What words might you have for those to better allow them to power through whatever challenges they might be facing?
You know, live every day like it's your last. Don't take anything for granted. You never know when you might not going to get to see someone again, or you might not going to get to do something again. You never know when, that thing's going to be your last. So never take anything for granted and never treat anything like it's going to be, you know, like you're going to get to do it for the rest of your life.
You're awesome, man. Incredible conversation with you today. Gavin, best of luck here moving forward. We'll keep in touch and, you know, with your continued recovery and fight against cancer for the second time, my man. Take care.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Not shocking that head coach Brian Flynn describes Gavin as a leader. There's one thing that you can take away from that conversation. It's that Gavin leads with his heart. His demeanor and mindset can help to inspire others to squeeze every ounce of energy they have into something they love and to not once take an opportunity for granted. The scoreboard that matters most says Gavin 1, Cancer 0. He's still competing to double that advantage, but I don't think there's a young man better equipped to earn another victory than Gavin Hill. I appreciate Coach Flynn for helping to set that up. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you did too. If you're looking for more information on Gavin, punch him up in the Google machine, and you'll see examples of how the Triad area has shown support and retold this story. Of course, he's on Twitter, @Gavin_Hill. That's two A's in Gavin and two I's in Hill. I know, kids these days. I'm Kyle Schatzberger. You can find me @KyleSchatz. This has been Triad Sports 1-on-1.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode on the Triad Podcast Network. Our mission is simple: provide information, advice, and stories about the people and places that make the North Carolina Triad such a great place to be. You can find us by searching Triad Podcast Network on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, pretty much wherever you like to listen. If you like what you heard and want to support the show and those that contribute, we would truly appreciate a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. It helps spread the word along, as do your shares on social media. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, @TriadPodcast. To get in touch with us, simply email info@triadpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.
This is the Triad Podcast Network.